Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wigman. We are hanging out at Southtown Sporting Goods. Even our old buddy Ron, where'd he go? He's hiding somewhere in here, but all kinds of people come here. But Larry, what we need to talk about is what hasn't happened yet, but is coming, and that's that high, cold, muddy water. It's good, right? Yeah. Right now, it's going to be good till that happens, right?
But it does impact what we do. Trust me, it's a negative. It changes from artificial baits to live bait for a lot of our fishing.
Right.
But it's here and it's coming. And if the winter forecasts are right, we may have a snowy, cold, high-water winter, and it is disruptive to the fishermen. Hopefully it doesn't last through the spring.
Right.
It can be a very negative. And it's they still spawn, and believe it or not, high water actually produces better fishing down the road.
Right.
It's conducive to good reproductive success in a lot of our sport fishes. We think of reservoirs as being an entity that's been here forever, but they're new. These fish all evolved in the Mississippi River. And years ago, we actually did work after we closed the reservoir program where we looked at data from all up and down the Mississippi River.
Right.
And floodwater years, and it's true in reservoirs too, produce strong year classes of crappie, bass. There's certain species that are favored by it, and others are favored by not so much water. But that is a mechanism that if you can think back before reservoirs, the old Mississippi used to flood out for millions of acres. These fish evolved to being organisms or fish that produced a large number of eggs. They went out in these overbank areas. That was the largemouth bass and the crappie.
Uh-huh.
And spawned and produced a blue million young. And then they were just decimated when the water came down. But in wet years, a lot more of them survived. So those became your strong year classes. And that's true in reservoirs to a degree. You take a reservoir like Beaver or Bull Shoals, especially Bull Shoals, with big flood pools. When we get the water up and muddy and bad in the winter, we think, oh, that's terrible. But it's producing. It usually produces a good year class of fish. And it's true on Grand Lake and the Lake of the Ozarks. With this overbank flooding that you saw years ago in the Mississippi, or it's always been there, it's conducive to good fish production. It's not the most fun for the fishermen, I'll put it that way.
So the game fish are reproducing, but how about the bait fish? What happens to bait fish when we start getting this high?
They're usually successful also. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just... You just produce more fish. The whole thing, and the longer the I don't know, to get into a discussion here, probably going to just confuse people, but the longer the theoretical retention time of a lake is, in other words, the more water it holds relative to the amount of runoff. Beaver, for example, holds a year and a half worth of runoff, roughly. Bull Shoals, 7/10. Grand Lake, about 90 days. So the faster water goes through, the less this effect would be there. But in a reservoir like Beaver, when you get a high water year, the nutrient loading can be 3 or 4 times what it would be in a dry year. Just runoff, water coming in, the trilobal material and everything. So they're given over to these pulses of energy. And when it gets dry, you don't get it. So the thing kind of shrinks back down. But we look at high water as a bad thing, but... It's good for the fish, but it's bad for the fishermen. I'll put it that way.
Right. And so,
did I confuse you?
No,
I didn't mean to.
No, it makes sense in the fact that we've had high water years now. It seems like consistently for sure the last two, but maybe the last 5 years or so, very consistent, very high water years. What happens to the biomass and the game fish? What happens to them when all of a sudden you have too many game fish?
Well, you I don't think you get too many. You get your best effect, and weather tends to be cyclical. It has. You'll have three or four dry years and then some wet years. We've had an unusual period of wet years.
Right.
And right now the fish populations have been pretty good. The last 2 years have really been, even though we had some water, the timing wasn't good.
Right.
For in other words, it didn't carry into the summer as well. It did this year again, but it hadn't for a year or two.
Yeah.
And so they've been, I think the crappie populations that we got a huge spawn on several of these lakes 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And people have really benefited. It's been good.
Crappie fishing's been really good.
It's been really good. And the big crappies, we've had a long period of it. If it dries out, it may decline. And I don't know, you know, I didn't think you could overfish a population, but these guys with their sonar, all their down-looking sonar have become very efficient at harvesting large crappie. I don't know, but what you may not have a significant impact on a population of fish, particularly if we're not getting reproduction,
right.
That you won't deplete it. Just wait and see. It's hard to say. But certainly the combination of the new electronics and the high water have made for some just, not so much this year, but last year and the year before, made for some really spectacular crappie fishing in all of these in all of these lakes around Ark, up in the central Missouri, and all those lakes benefited from those long periods of high water.
And so you were actually around when the walleye, when the river was almost the river, I mean, when it was first being flooded.
Yes.
In that, and so the walleye were naturally here. Is that right?
There were a few of them. They've done a great deal with the stocking.
Right.
It's helped. And you produce strong aircraft. For whatever reason, 2009 produced and really got the population going. But since, and they still stock. And I think the last year or the year before, we probably had really good, it was a high water year, really good survival in the stock fish, because there are a lot of sublegals
right
now being caught.
Yes.
And they'll grow into the population. If things go well and we get a lot of good spring runoff, this year the timing wasn't good. Right. It was pretty dry early, and then we got the rain late. If you get that rain in the winter and you have good stream flows, in other words, if the rivers are running strong January, February, and March, we usually get pretty good recruitment. There'll be a lot of fish in the river. But this year it wasn't a good run. They still maintain, they're still stocking. But stocking's kind of hit or miss. You have a good year.
Right.
You can get tremendous survival, and then you have a bad year and you don't get much. That's just part of the game.
So we have, so right now we have, we're like a foot above conservation pool right now.
Right.
So we're kind of going into that, and anglers are looking at, you know, when will it change? When will we get the water? And so we're in between, we're kind of in between that time where, when do you consider like fall fishing change to winter fishing?
Well, yeah, that's more temperature related than we're close. You know, the movement of striped bass, for example, up into the river arms will come within a few degrees. I think the last I heard, the water temperature in these lakes was still above 70 degrees,
right?
Which is pretty warm.
Yeah.
But when it gets into the 60s, then you'll see a movement up. And certain fish move up way before a walleye. If we've got good stream flow, we're going to see them in the Kings River and the White River January and February. Early. They get up there early, and the white bass come later. But a lot of it is flow dependent. If we have a dry winter, I hope we don't. I hope we get good rainfall. I'd rather see the lake get a little muddy and high for a while and have good stream flow in the spring just to make things help in recruitment of particularly walleye and not striped bass, because they can't do it, but white bass. And so those two species really benefit.
And so we're having this period of time, and so anglers
just
pretty
fish.
Much, even in Grand Lake and just almost any reservoir, a lot of those shad now are starting to move back in the pockets and back into the feeder creeks, right?
They're behavioral movements that the fishermen are good at spotting that.
Uh-huh.
Good bass fishermen, they're on top of it.
way ahead of us.
Why did the shed move back in those pockets and feeder crates?
I don't really know why. They, for whatever reason, they seem to. Then pretty soon they'll go deep.
Right.
Excuse me. They'll in the wintertime, they'll get off 70, 80 feet, and they years ago we used to fish them. They still do some. Bass will get down there with them. Fish will stay down with those shad in deep water in the winter. But that's a different pattern. It's not there yet. We're going to go through a period of time in these reservoirs. Usually when the temperature comes back to the 50 to 60 degree range, it's almost like you repeat spring.
Right.
There'll be a period of time, you've seen it for years, when they come on the banks. You'll have a spinnerbait run. You may have a crawdad crankbait type run. And it kind of goes backwards as it is in the spring. We haven't seen that yet. It's still just early, but we're on the cusp of it. We're within weeks of usually the latter part of October, the early part of November is when that hits. And it can be really fun if a person just likes to fish for bass to get out. And if you can time it, years ago when we were on the lakes working on them all the time, we would be on Bull Shoals when it hit, and they'd be about 2 weeks when they just caught fish like crazy. Then you start into the winter pattern, and they sound, and everything goes deep. But it's ahead of us here in the next. You'll probably see it here. You'll be fishing
pretty soon. We're already out there every day we can possibly go. But so when a person is dealing with high water, and we're going to assume that it's muddy high water because that's how it came up.
Right.
It's everyone is either live bait fishermen or artificial lure fishermen. And of course, you still minnows here.
Right.
But I mean, when they come in, how are they? Are they automatically deciding what they're going to do? Or is there a trend that you go, all of a sudden, the water got muddy and now these guys are
buying
minnows?
Well, they'll change the color of baits for muddy water. Usually a darker bait, blueberry, there's some glittery,
popsicles.
Anyway, you see that, and sometimes you see a flurry of top water. A lot of times, the muddy water comes in the winter,
right?
And a lot of times, they just don't go.
Right.
It's tough fishing if they're deep, and the water's really muddy. It's hard to get a bass fisherman. Challenge to do that. If they're tournament fishermen, they do it because they have to.
Right.
And they'll find a way to catch a mess of fish. But I'd rather see it clear and where they can be a little more diverse in what they're trying to throw. But we live with it, and it's going to happen this winter. It may just suppress fishing if it's cold. That knocks the fishermen down. That's just part of the seasonality of it. Our great fishing is in the spring. That in these reservoirs, that's always has been when they spawn. That's the easiest time to catch them.
Yeah, this is an interesting time because we're getting ready to shift gears and go to different things. So that high raising water. So it's usually muddy, but if they can get a jerkbait in, why is a jerkbait so good if you can get ahead of the mud, I guess, or ahead of the stain?
The jerkbaits, I don't, for whatever reason, and we saw this 50 years ago, the bigger fish become active earlier. And if you'll notice on your jerkbait bite in the winter, if you have a cold winter, especially if we have a temperature more than water color, seems to determine the jerkbait bite. If we get a cold winter, when it first starts to warm, you don't get a lot of bites, but there will be some big bass that come up, and you can catch them on a suspending. But now you're talking 3 or 4 months out, March, February.
Right.
The December, January are just tough months.
Right.
Anyway, the winter fishing, we don't do it as much as we used to, but then it was hunting them deep.
Right.
And I can remember when Beaver was young, we had years when you could take a spoon and literally catch them 30, 40 feet down. They were down with those pods of shad.
Right.
There's not much you do there, but as the spring starts to warm, if it's muddy, it discourages
What happens to the bait fish when it gets dirty? When this raging, flooding water comes through, and the shad were right there in the rivers, and all of a sudden this mud, this, you know,
well, they probably get flushed downstream a little. I don't know how. Fish seem to maintain themselves very well in the periods of flood. You know, our best spawning runs of white bass and walleye are usually years when we have a lot of high water. But you think, well, no fish could live in this, but they can live very well near the bottom or under an eddy, and they find that. Those fish, you can have water, a current going 7 or 8, 9 miles an hour, but if you're within a foot of the bottom, it's pretty calm. They get behind a rock, and they can stay there all winter.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's just part of it. But you don't, and you don't know how they move upstream during floods.
Right.
But if you've got period, if you've got a wet spring and a lot of high water, there'll be more white bass and more walleye in those rivers when the spawning starts. They just don't have any trouble. They've evolved to do it. That's their mechanism, and they just scoot up along the bottom. I guess I don't know, but they're there.
I guess the good news for you is there's something that they can catch a fish on, whether it's high or it's low water.
Well,
here.
But it's best. Our overall success for the year is best if we have a wet spring.
Oh, all right.
I'm convinced of that.
Yeah,
and
I think that's coming.
Huh?
So I think.
Well,
that's
we've had several.
They're forecasting
a cold winter, and a lot of snow north of us. Now we're right on the line here. I don't know what we'll see. The south's supposed to be pretty warm and dry.
Mm.
But
we'll see.
The northern plains, and if the forecast holds,
that's right.
We'll see.
It's the only job where you can be wrong and keep your job.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're right half the time.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. We were talking about fishing in cold, muddy water or raging water or coming up, and they have a complete line of bass jigs like this round ball head finesse jig. And it has a keeper on it, so that makes it easier to keep that soft plastics on. But you can find them and basically about anything you need, including crankbaits. If they're still in that strike zone, you can find them here at Southtown. Larry's got them. Or you can find them online at picolures.com. B&M Poles is also a sponsor of our show. And, of course, Larry has a couple of the poles here that B&M makes. And actually one for coming up. This is the one a lot of people are fishing for roamers. That's the crappie cast, the Godwin crappie cast. And Larry
also
says it's super popular.
It'd also be a good walleye rod.
Yeah,
soft.
Good. Yeah, soft tip.
Soft tip.
Yeah.
And then
he's got maybe spider rigging or long lining people will be using.
Right. And here in the middle is a crappie rod, if I can get it out.
That's that one right there.
That one, that's just a good...
That's
a good light, about 11-foot pole. This is for the guy that wants to fish in Benton County when he's in Washington County. That's a 16. That's a 16-footer, and so, you can reach across the county line with that one.
Yeah, and that's that one is very popular also with people that are catching Roman fish.
Right.
And so as long as we don't get that overly muddy water and silty water, people be using that.
You bet.
Yep. So you can find them at bnmpoles.com. Larry, if they want to come by and talk to you about fishing or want to hang out and maybe find out some more stuff about fishing, where would they go?
It's 4602 North College in Fayetteville, down the hill from the Northwest Arkansas Mall, just north of it and right next to Locomotion.
All right, there you go. And Lake Fayetteville's right here,
Lake
too.
Lake Fayetteville's right here,
don't
you
forget.
Bet.
Like, some of the people stop on their way there, right, by minutes.
Oh, yeah, we have.
On
the
way, so.
We're the only bait store around anymore. That's a going away business.
There you go. Like I always like to say, and like I end the show, is make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lure's in the water.